Scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 39 through 40, as well as verses 46 through 52. Luke chapter 2, first, verses 39 through 40. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them. And now, verses 46 through 52. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. May God bless the reading and receiving of His Word.
Thank you, Chris. Today we continue with the second in our series, Looking Through the Glass. As I mentioned a few weeks back, we began that this past Thursday evening, and it is going to be a series on Sunday mornings as we look through our stained glass windows and see what we might find not only contained in the story there, but also the challenges that might be brought to us as we look through the glass. I know the choir will have some difficulty looking through this one because there's a tree in the way. And I guess you can't see the window for the trees. Sorry. Forest for the trees kind of thing. But I will describe the window. The scene is Jesus in the temple at age 12, from which we read both with the children this morning and Chris just read. And if you look at the window, you see what is typical of the pictures that we often have concerning Jesus in the temple at age 12. He's standing beside of a lectern. He's holding up his right hand, which is the hand of power. And obviously the message is that he is teaching the rabbis. I still remember posters like that in Sunday school as I was growing up, and one of them had Jesus actually standing on a pedestal, pointing down at a group of rabbis, and the caption was, "Jesus instructs the teachers." The idea that he was a rather precocious and overbearing child who was giving them what for and straightening them out. And that would almost seem to be the scene in our window. You note there are no rabbis sitting around. Maybe they got mad and ran off, but probably not. Behind Jesus is a curtain. A curtain that would have separated where the representation of the Ark of the Covenant, the big cabinet, would have been, in which the scrolls of the law would have been placed and would have been taken out to be read and then put back. On the floor, you see a book and a scroll, both of which would represent not only the law of God, but Jesus standing over them and instructing in this would seem to indicate that He not only knows them well, but is superior to the law. And He is the Word of life, represented by the book. But when we read the story, and when Chris read those latter verses a while ago, we find out that perhaps our idea of Jesus straightening out the rabbis is a little bit off. What we think is not the case. And I think there are a few things that we need to note about this story and about what is said concerning Jesus and its application to us. to First Baptist Church of Piedmont at 130 years old. Jesus is 12 at this point in time. And we're told in the text that was read earlier that when he was 12 years old, as was their custom, once again they went up to Jerusalem for the Passover. Now you might think, Nazareth in the north, Jerusalem's in the south. Why did they go up? Because we think on maps, you know, up is north and down is south. Because literally Jerusalem was on a mountain. And you had to go up once you got there to get to the city. And the temple was the focal point of that. And here Jesus is 12 years old. He is now considered a man at 12 years old. And he would have been allowed to present the sacrifice for his family here at Passover for the first time. He could also now read from the Scriptures, that is, the Hebrew books of the Law and the Prophets. And as a man, it was his privilege and responsibility to comment on them, if he so desired, when he read those Scriptures. But there is much more to this story. And I think much more to what Jesus has to say to us in this story. As I've already mentioned, we are told that Joseph, Mary, and Jesus went to Jerusalem every year, as was their custom. It was a family tradition to go together to the temple. Now, this may have been worked in as a family vacation since it was around Passover and that festival lasted for a week. But it's not just on special occasions or when Jesus was in the Hanukkah play that they showed up for worship. We know from inferences in the text, here and in other places, that Jesus was regularly at synagogue. And when he was around Jerusalem, he was regularly at temple. But in Nazareth, Jesus was there in synagogue with his family. So how do we infer this? Because we are told, first of all, that Joseph and Mary do everything according to the law. In chapter 2, earlier. Everything is done according to the law. And being in synagogue regularly for worship was an expectation, was a responsibility, was a privilege for God's people. And so we can infer from that that if the parents do everything according to the law, then yes, Jesus is there every time he is to be there at synagogue. Secondly, it's obvious that Jesus has studied the Law and the Prophets because of the questions he asks the rabbis and because of the depth of the answers that he gives to their questions. If this picture were totally accurate with other persons in here, Jesus, as we're told, was sitting among the rabbis. They would have all been seated and discussing the Scriptures. There would have been one rabbi that would have been leading the discussion, but others would chime in at appropriate moments and ask questions and give opinions. And Jesus himself, now a man, has that right to do so. And so we're told here that he asks questions, he gives answers with understanding, and it impresses all of the teachers. Were he not regularly studying and being in synagogue and studying at home, mom, dad, and the rabbis would not have been as impressed. Jesus at age 12 was extremely impressive. In fact, had he not regularly been in synagogue in Nazareth, he probably would not have sought out the temple and the discussions while they were there. He would have been out running around with the rest of his buddies during this time. But Joseph and Mary continue to prove that they are good parents because they teach Jesus the importance of learning, they teach Jesus the importance of knowing the Scriptures, and they teach Jesus the importance of worship. In fact, we are told that after his time in the temple, where Mary gives sacrifices for purification, for giving birth to the child, that they go back to Nazareth and he grows in wisdom and in favor with God and with others. And even after this incident, once again, the same thing is said. That's an indication that he would continue to learn, continue to regularly be in worship at synagogue, continue to prepare himself. We also need to remember who's writing these documents. In this particular instance, it's Luke. Luke, who is an educated Gentile, and who is interested in showing a number of things, among those, the importance of education and learning, and who seems to want to show that what Jesus founded in the church, that church that followed his teachings, was based on sound teaching and a growing comprehension not only of God, but a growing comprehension of the wisdom in Scripture, the ageless wisdom that continues down. Jesus didn't just come up at age 12 with all of these questions and all of these answers on his own. Jesus had studied the ageless wisdom, that wisdom that had been passed down through the ages in the law, in the prophets, and in the discussions of the rabbis. For Luke, one does not need to check his or her mind at the door when they enter the synagogue or the church. But each one is to use their minds as well as their hearts within the church. We also find here that Jesus is setting the example in the temple, setting the example of continuing to question, continuing to seek answers, continuing to study Scripture and tradition even at an early age. And while that is important, and I would say it's extremely important for children and youth to be in Sunday school and in church for study and for worship, and for learning about the traditions, as an adult, Jesus keeps learning and keeps sharing in the knowledge and the wisdom he attains, not just at age 12, but at age 18 and at age 30, and just before he's crucified, somewhere around 33 to 34 years old. Knowledge and wisdom from ages past as well as from the present. And yes, I did say knowledge and wisdom from ages past and from the present. It wasn't just about the latest fad in religion, but understanding heritage and tradition was extremely important because that was the foundation for beginning to gain a full understanding and for gaining true wisdom. What was as impressive to the rabbis as a 12-year-old wanting to spend time at the temple was the fact that this boy had learned of the Scriptures and traditions and wanted to continue to learn more. And from the depth of his questions and answers, he obviously spent time not just at synagogue thinking about these things, but he spent time at home thinking on religious matters, and not just an hour or two every week or month or year. And he expected to be found in my Father's house. Now, I know the King James translates it, "Did you not know I would be about my Father's business?" But the word here is oikos, house. The place where God dwells. And when his parents come looking for him, all anxious, and as I've said before, probably discussing, how do we tell God we lost his son? Oh. Jesus says, "Why did you look everywhere for me, Mom and Dad? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" Why should they think He would be there? Because He regularly was there. And He was there whenever the opportunity presented itself, even on vacation. So what does this have to do with us? We who are here in Piedmont. We who are here in First Baptist Church on Sunday, December the 27th, 2009. After all, we might say Jesus was the Son of God. He was Messiah. So He was expected to be there and prepare for His mission, right? Besides, our lives are so busy, we just can't do things like that. But then again, the lives of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were also busy in their own way. How do we make a living? How do we provide food and clothing and shelter, especially in an occupied time and a terrible economy? Taxes are extremely high and the Romans are demanding more. How in the world am I going to meet those deadlines at work? Getting the tables done and the chairs and doing this other work in stonemasonry and other things. How in the world can we spend more time learning about family and about Scripture and about God when we've got all these other things going on? And that was just in their time. But it doesn't sound all that different from the questions and the statements we make today, does it? But they learned and they taught about God and Scripture and their religious heritage and traditions on a regular, in fact, I would dare say probably in Jesus' house, on a near daily basis. They talked about God. They talked about Scripture. They talked about their religious traditions and their heritage. Many in our world are lucky to get around to saying a short blessing at a meal or a quick nighttime prayer. So what does all of this say to us? First of all, we need to study. And we need to think on the Bible regularly. I would suggest daily. Not just in a hurried Sunday school lesson time, but each and every day. Secondly, we need to come together for study and worship as often as we can. No excuses. And certainly more than being Christers. Now that's, folks, Christmas and Easter. In fact, we need to come more regularly than the surveys say. By the way, in the latest surveys, in fact, for the last 2 or 3 years, when they ask people if they are regular attenders or worshipers in a church or a synagogue, the surveyors, the pollsters, define regular as 1 or 2 services of any kind in any given month out of the year. I don't think that's really regular. Third, we need to remember the tradition and the heritage. Not just to go through the motions and say we've been there, but to build on that foundation. And to learn from the ageless wisdom we find there. First Baptist Piedmont, 130 years of wisdom. Some of it learned in bad things. Some of it learned in good things. Some of it learned in everyday pulling together. But there is much wisdom and folly that have occurred since the founding in 1879, and we need to learn from both. And we need to celebrate the fact that we can learn and celebrate the wisdom and the knowledge of our past in order to better build in the present and prepare for the future. That's what Jesus was about here. Jesus was talking with the rabbis about the ageless wisdom, not just so He could say, "I've been there and I thought about it and I talked about it in the past," but so that He could also challenge them in the present and help them prepare for a future that God wanted for them to have, but a future that did not forget from where they had come. And fourth, we need to look through the glass, not just at the glass. We need to look through the glass to the world outside and be prepared to share the knowledge and the ageless wisdom with the world, just as Jesus did. Not as a precocious, overbearing person, but with grace, love, and in a genuine sense of ministry and mission. For yes, Jesus was preparing Himself for His mission. But then again, are we not all called to ministry and mission when we accept God's call in Christ? We all have a mission. We all need to share that ageless wisdom that has changed and can continue to change our lives, but just as importantly, if not more so, that ageless wisdom that can change the world one life at a time. Looking through the glass, we find God's mission in our world. Our closing hymn is number 270. And yes, it's a Christmas carol. But then again, Christmas is not just about one day out of the year. It is about sharing joy with the entire world throughout the year. As we stand and as we sing number 270, Joy to the World, our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make on this day. Standing and singing number 270, Joy to the World.